This week's episode of PFW Chicago Football Podcast brought to you by Fan Essentials. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL team merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Well, you can do that if you sign up at fanessentials.net. And guess what? 30% off your first month if you use our promo code Chicago at checkout. So what they do at Fan Essentials, they create a box every month of your favorite team's gear, and you get it delivered to you. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Go check out the website, fanessentials.net. Lots of cool items for you. If you are a Bears fan, certainly sign up for this. You can do this for any other sport. If you are a Bulls fan and are really excited about how terrible your team is, you want to sign up for this, go for it if you're ready to get move on to baseball season, what have you. Fanessentials.net. Use our promo code Chicago at checkout. You can get 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all of the essentials you need. The combine is a week away. We got some Jay Cutler conversation to come. Let's talk some Bears. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the PFW Chicago Football Podcast. I am Kevin Fishbane, your host, and we are a week away from the NFL Combine, which is what we're going to talk about a little bit on today's show, get you set for the NFL Draft. Got my producer on hand today, Dan Mott. You can follow him on Twitter at Mott's Thoughts. We'll be joined a little bit later in the show by my other producer, John Solly, at J Solly. You can find me, of course, at K Fishbane, and all of our Bears coverage at Bears_Insider and online at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Got a great guest for you on the program today. It is Tom Fornelli, the always funny and entertaining and very knowledgeable Tom Fornelli. Covers college football for CBS Sports. We'll talk to him about Jay Cutler a little bit. He's a Chicago guy and a Bears fan, as well as going through some of the quarterbacks in the draft, some of the safeties. A lot of really good content from him on the NFL draft. But before we get to that, a couple updates this week in terms of what is in the news when it comes to the Bears. And the real news, not talking fake news here, the real news that wasn't news to most of us is that the Bears are actively shopping Jay Cutler. Now, let me tell you what would be news. If the Bears were not actively shopping Jay Cutler. Now, this is not meant to discredit the ESPN report or all the reports that came after it. Obviously, they have good sources and they report, and then that's what's happening. Fine. It'd be really weird if the Bears were not shopping Jay Cutler. We all know this is the end of the Jay Cutler era, most likely in Chicago. They're not going to want to cut him if they can get, if they can find something. I just don't know what they're going to get for him, because if a team trades for him, they're going to have to take on that contract. There's also no guarantee Jay Cutler wants to necessarily keep playing. Who knows? There's an NFL Network report that he is going to be medically cleared, certainly from his shoulder injury. I think a team would rather just pick him up off free agency. So that's kind of the news. Again, it wasn't news so much as it was a reminder, I guess, to fans about what's coming. March 9th is the big day to circle on your calendar. That is when these things happen. And as we talked last week on the show, if the Bears trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, that's when it will happen. If they cut Jay Cutler, they can cut him today, they can cut him tomorrow, they can cut him in April, May, or June, or July. But a lot of these things happen when the league year opens, which is going to be on March 9th. That's when trades can become official. That's when a lot of the stuff happens. So, you know, we're expecting Jay Cutler is going to be released at some point, unless there is a team willing to give up a fifth, sixth round pick for him. But that was kind of the scuttlebutt for the Bears this week. They also hired a few assistant coaches at outside linebacker, wide receiver, and assistant special teams this week. Got a story up on Alshon Jeffery. Talked about it a lot last week. But I got a story up on the website. Again, profootballweekly.com/Bears is where you will see that. And kind of walk through some of the frequently asked questions. There are two big dates to think about with Alshon. March 1st is the franchise tag deadline. And we actually get a chance to talk to John Fox and Ryan Pace on March 1st. So we'll see what they tell us that morning. The deadline is that afternoon if they want to use the tag on Jeffery again. And then March 9th is when free agency opens. And if Jeffery has not been tagged, that, and he's still, you know, and he's a free agent that day, most likely he's going to go somewhere else, because the fact of the matter is there probably are teams that will be willing to give Alshon Jeffrey more money than the Bears do. So keep an eye on those dates when it comes to Alshon Jeffrey. So that's kind of the Bears news and a quick calendar update for you. We will not have a podcast next week. I will be at the Combine in Indianapolis, so afterwards, we'll have a lot of updates for you, but follow along on Twitter and online. Hear what Ryan Pace and John Fox have to say. We'll talk to some of the top prospects, hear from some guys the Bears might target. And there's also some interesting free agency discussions that take place in Indianapolis. And the next week, it's new this year. They moved the Combine back, so it's a really quick turnaround. Free agency, the negotiation period starts March 7th. The signing begins on the afternoon of March 9th. So it comes in a hurry this year. And, you know, it's going to be a very frenetic time for Ryan Pace, who said he's going to be aggressive. He has a salary cap room. You look at where the Bears need players, cornerback. There's a lot of good corners in free agency. Safety, a couple good ones. We'll figure out what happens with Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler, Jimmy Garoppolo, all that. Begins March 9th. So we might have a podcast right before then, but most likely we'll have one right afterwards, and we'll kind of recap a little bit who they brought in. But before that all happens, we got the Combine next week. It's time to start thinking a little bit about the NFL draft. And to do that, I wanted to talk about the draft and some of these college players, or somebody that has watched these players a lot in their college days, and that is Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports. Joining us on this week's episode, it is a friend of the program, Tom Fornelli, covers college football for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. Tom, before I get started, I want to congratulate you on being a friend of the program. Since this is your second time on the podcast, I'm sure it feels great.
It does. It's truly an honor to be a two-time guest, and I'm assuming I'll get like a t-shirt or a coffee mug or something in the mail soon.
You know, we're still working on that. Right now, I'm thinking of, you know, we have some great Pro Football Weekly photos with Hub that we can send around.
Oh, I would love that. If Hub can sign that, I will frame it and put it on the wall in my office, no joke.
Great. So we'll work on that. And before we get to kind of your expertise, of course, college football, as a Chicagoan, I think you have another expertise in Jay Cutler 101. And, you know, back in November when Jay got hurt, we had an episode of the podcast just kind of talking, reflecting on Jay, the quote-unquote news that came out this week about the fact that they're looking at trading Jay, which is no surprise, and we don't think they're going to get anything for him, which is my long way of asking you, Tom, what is your favorite memory of the Jay Cutler era in Chicago?
Well, the Bears probably wish the Sacramento Kings were an NFL team, because then they might be able to get something for Jay. It's strange because there are so many moments of Jay's tenure here, and they're all so similar. Like, you know, every backbreaking interception or every game that he started playing well and you thought, this is it, this is when he finally turns it around, that they all kind of blend together. But I remember, you know, there was all the excitement. I think it was April 2009 when they traded for him, and there was all the excitement. We'd gotten our franchise quarterback and blah, blah, blah. And that very first game, Sunday night game in Green Bay against the Packers, Jay comes out, throws four interceptions his very first game. And the Bears still only lost that game by like 6 points, which I feel like that first game told us exactly what to expect for the entirety of Jay's tenure with the Bears, where he was going to have good games and he was going to have a lot of bad games. And frankly, unless the defense played really well, the Bears weren't going to win. And I think Jay's legacy with the Bears will always be that he was better than most thought he was, probably better than any quarterback the Bears have ever had before him, but he still just wasn't that good.
Yeah, and you know full well what this town is like when it comes to the quarterback position. And before we get into some of the options, especially the guys from the college ranks, is there anything the Bears could do at quarterback that you think fans would not like unanimously love, but like maybe the majority of Bears fans would be excited about? Because every thing I look at, there's going to be enough fans that are not thrilled with the option.
Unless they could somehow convince the Patriots to trade him Tom Brady. I don't know. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks available this year in the draft. I know we're going to talk more about it. It's just there is no sure thing. And I understand that even if they took Deshaun Watson or Mitch Trubisky or anybody with that third pick, as the offseason goes on, you know, when you take a quarterback in the first round, it's exciting. It's more exciting than taking an offensive lineman. And people will slowly talk themselves into the fact that, hey, this guy's really good, he's going to be great. But the fact is, I don't know. There's no easy fix this offseason. I feel like, honestly, in the long run, and I doubt Ryan Pace and John Fox would be up for it, but I think they'd be better off this year losing more games and getting a high draft pick next year and using that on a quarterback, because I think next year's quarterback class will probably be a bit better than this year's.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like, I mean, you think like, oh, another losing season, Bears fans, you know, Bears Nation, well, they've had enough losing seasons in the last few. I don't think it would, you know, at this point, you're not really piling on necessarily. And let's get to those quarterbacks, Trubisky, Watson, Kaiser, those are the big three. As someone who watched probably more of those guys in the last couple of years than certainly than I have, and maybe some of our listeners who are, you know, more pro football, what's kind of your take on those three guys in terms of their college careers and how you can maybe see them translate to the NFL?
Well, as I kind of like alluded to, I wouldn't take any of them with the third pick. If I have to put any of them in a specific order, though, I would go Watson first, then Kaiser, and then Trubisky. Trubisky, to me, you know, there are the legit concerns. He was only a one-year starter at North Carolina before he's coming out, and he's one of those scout dreams because he can make, like, I don't think there's probably a quarterback in college who could exploit that cover two window between, you know, the hashtag and the sidelines, between the safety and the corner. I don't think there's a quarterback with an arm better at exploiting that window than there is Mitch Trubisky. It's just, I still feel like he's more a product, or at least his numbers were more a product of the system he was in. I understand that measurable-wise, he measures well. He's got the strong arm. It's just, when you see Trubisky, he put up insane numbers for the Tar Heels this year. It's just, when you looked at him against teams that had, like, NFL-caliber defensive players, when he played against Georgia, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Miami, Stanford, his completion percentage dropped to 63.3%, which isn't horrible, but it's below where he was at in the normal season. His yards per attempt were only 6.11 yards per attempt. He had 7 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in those games. And that Florida State game, he was 31 of 38 for 405 yards and 3 touchdowns. So even including those numbers, his overall numbers against the better defenses he faced are pretty mediocre and average looking. So I'm not high on Trubisky. I think somebody's going to fall in love with him, seeing him at the combine, and they're going to take him, and they're probably going to regret it. I'm just hoping, as a Bears fan, it's not the Bears. As for Kaiser, honestly, he reminds me a lot of Jay Cutler in that way a lot of young quarterbacks can remind me of Jay Cutler. He's got a strong arm, and he can make great throws. It's just, he also makes some of the dumbest throws you're going to see, where you're just sitting there scratching your head, like, what did he see to make him think that was the decision? Of course, like I said, when you're 21, you expect it. The question is, when you get to the NFL, will you grow? Will you learn? Will you improve on that? And as we saw with Jay, you can get in your 30s and still make some of those same stupid throws. So I'm intrigued by Kaiser's potential, but I wouldn't take him before the second round. And then there's Watson, who I think is the most complete, best prospect at quarterback in this class. It's just, that doesn't really say a whole lot, because I don't think the quarterback class overall is great. But I see Watson as having the highest floor, whereas I think he's the one guy out of all the quarterbacks in this class that I think is going to have an NFL career. It's just, I don't know if he's ever going to ascend to a place that's better than, you know, like top, maybe like mid average starter in the NFL. And it's like, is that really what you want to shoot for with the third pick? I don't know. It's just, the ceiling there to me isn't great. But at the same time, the one thing I really like about Watson compared to the other guys is, as we've seen, when you get Watson in big games and big moments, he rises to the occasion, which is something you always like to see in your quarterback. Rather than a guy turtling at the big moment, Deshaun Watson seems to play his best when it matters most. And I think if you get him on a good team, that's great. It's just, if he's drafted in the first 5 picks and he ends up on a team that's going 2-14, how many moments is he going to have to rise to the occasion? So it's a very sketchy situation to me.
Now, because the Bears have, by not drafting a quarterback over all these years, especially one in the first 3 rounds, they've certainly backed themselves into a corner. So even if they take a quarterback in the first round and they don't bring anybody in free agency, they could double dip, they could trade for somebody and draft someone in the middle rounds. Of the Pat Mahomeses and Brad Kayas and Nate Petermans and CJ Beathards of the world, are any of those guys you think could be someone in those middle rounds, like, okay, I could see there's something in this guy's skill set of Davis Webb, for example, that could maybe develop into a solid pro quarterback?
Mahomes has always been very intriguing to me. I mean, you have to look past his numbers because, you know, playing in that Texas Tech system, you're going to have ridiculous numbers as quarterback. So you don't want to be too wowed by him. But just watching him, I've always felt like he was probably out of the Texas Tech quarterbacks that were there under both Mike Leach and now Cliff Kingsbury. I've always felt like he was the one, just watching him, I've thought, that's the guy that probably has the best chance to go to the NFL and be a successful NFL quarterback. But again, I don't know how successful he's going to be, but I'm definitely willing to take a chance on him. If he's there with their third round pick or even their fourth round pick, I would definitely jump at drafting a guy like Mahomes at that point. And Brad Kaya, to me, when he first showed up in Miami as a freshman, you know, you saw all the reasons why he was such a highly rated recruit. He was, you know, he had the size. He had the arm, and he looked like the kind of guy that, oh, man, by the time this guy becomes a junior, he's going to be one of the, you know, he's going to be a Heisman contender if he doesn't outright win the award. It's just from year to year, I never saw Kaya improve. So I feel like he's still the same person he was coming out of high school, where you look at him and you see the potential there. It's just he hasn't really done anything to grow into it or to expand his game. So I'm a little wary of drafting Kaya, but it's still, if it's a middle round pick, a guy with that talent and ability, I'm perfectly fine with it.
The combine is coming up next week, Tom, and I want to get a little kind of inside journalism, but also balance some analysis here too. What do college football writers think of the combine?
Most of them don't care for it too much. I enjoy it. I'm just weird like that. I mean, I work with a couple guys who I know also watch it. It's just, for me, I enjoy just scouting guys. And it's like, it's one thing to watch them when they're playing games. You know, obviously that's important. But I like watching the combine and just looking at them instead of in the parameter of being on the field and just seeing what they could do in these drills and just getting a better sense of what kind of athlete they are, how, you know, the same reason teams have them there to run them through all these drills, just to see what they can do. I enjoy watching it, but I would say the overwhelming majority of it think it's somewhat useless because, you know, most college football writers and college football fans I know are more of the who cares how fast he runs the 40, what did he do on the field, which I completely understand. I think there's too many times where players are ignored for what they did on the field because they didn't run the shuttle cone drill fast enough. And then all of a sudden their success stories in the NFL and the coaches are like, we never saw it coming. That's because you weren't paying close enough attention. But I think it's hilarious that it's televised. Like when they first started televising it, I mocked it and then I turned it on and I couldn't turn it off. So personally speaking, I love it.
The college versus pros thing is always very interesting to me in terms of how a player is viewed in college compared to how he's viewed in the pros. And there are some guys, of course, that are just legends in college and continue in the pros. And there's, you know, complete other sides of both windows. So I want to start with that one. Is there a college player who you think was just an incredible college player? You loved watching him and covering him the past few seasons, but no one is talking about him in terms of being a great NFL player?
This might be cheating a little bit, but one player that comes to mind right off the top of my head, he's highly rated. He's going to be a first-round pick. Don't get me wrong. But Dalvin Cook, I just think back to last year with all the hype that was around Ezekiel Elliott coming out of Ohio State, and you know how he was going to be the running back that finally got taken in the top 10, which we'd seen, you know, in the NFL draft, the trend had been running backs were falling down boards and weren't going to middle rounds, and Elliott was going to be the guy that break the trend. Well, for me, Dalvin Cook as a college back was just as good as Ezekiel Elliott, if not better. Just as a running back, I think Dalvin Cook is better than Ezekiel Elliott, yet Cook's probably not even going to be the first running back taken in the draft. I'm guessing that Leonard Fournette ends up going somewhere like Carolina before Cook is taken off the board. So for me, Cook is that one player that's a great player that he's getting attention, just not as much. But another player, I think more in line with what you were looking for, is a Dory Jackson from USC, because I feel like he's one of those players that, as far as NFL teams are concerned, they're not quite 100% sure what to do with him. But he's just so talented athletically that he's probably, I don't know if he'll stick in the NFL as a cornerback, which is what he's going as. But he reminds me a lot of Devin Hester, simply because Devin Hester coming out of Miami was a corner, but he wasn't going to play corner in the NFL with the Bears. He just didn't have that ability. But the Bears put him on special teams. And as we've seen, Dory Jackson was a great returner in college. And as we saw with the Bears and Devin Hester, having a great returner can have a huge impact on your football team. So I feel like Jackson is the kind of athlete and the kind of performer on the field that it won't translate quite as well to what teams want to do as far as thinking of him as a cornerback. But I feel like he's a second, third, maybe even a fourth round pick, depending on how things shake out, that could end up paying huge dividends for a team down the road.
Yeah, so a little more context there. I just flipped up our scouting report on him from Greg Gabriel. He writes that Jackson's good enough that he could be either a slot receiver, a slot cornerback, or a team's return man. So he has that versatility. The flip side, Tom, when you see mock drafts and you see college football rankings, I think CBS, by the way, you guys have a great college rankings in terms of everything. Are there guys that you see top 10, top 15, you think to yourself, this guy, you know, I kind of get it, but he wasn't that good in college, or he was used wrong in college. Are there guys like that that are clearly much better off in the pros than the way they were looked at in the college game?
It's hard to say. I one guy I think of is Malik McDowell from Michigan State. He's not really a top 10 pick, but he's the kind of guy where at Michigan State, the talent and the ability was there. It's just the way Michigan State runs its defense, I don't think was best suited to his personal skill set. You know, Michigan State's were pretty much just funneling things, and they didn't really want their defensive linemen to rush the passer as much as, or at least not their defensive tackles, as much as they just wanted them to plug gaps and let the linebackers flow and make the tackles. I think Malik McDowell has a skill set that's more inclined to maybe a 3-4 defensive end, or somebody that can just rush the passer more from the inside than we saw that, or he was allowed to or expected to in college. And I feel like at times when you'd watch his tape, he's not a perfect player. Trust me. I mean, he needs to work on his balance better, because he gets put down on the ground and pancaked a bit too often for my taste. It's just, I still see the talent there. If you just let him go, he is a guy that can really be disruptive from the middle of your defensive line. And I think that once he gets to the NFL, if he's in the right scheme, I think he's going to show off a lot better at the NFL level than he did on the college level.
Yeah, I watched that Northwestern Michigan State game, and every time he was lined up over the Northwestern center, I wanted to turn the TV off, because I knew he was just going to throw him like a rag doll off to the side, what he's capable of. Flip back to the Bears now. I believe Mike Brown's last Pro Bowl season was 2005, which will mark this the 13th draft in a row the Bears have needed a safety. Yes. And it's a pretty good draft if you need a safety. So let's start with the top guys. Malik Hooker, Jamal Adams, Jabril Peppers seem to be the top three. How do you view those guys? And then the follow-up to that, I've been watching a lot of Sean Spicer press conferences, so it seems like two-part questions are in these days, even though I hate them. But the follow-up to that is, do you think any of those guys are worthy of being the number three pick?
If I'm doing my own power rankings, I would go Jamal Adams first, Malik Hooker second, and then Jabril Peppers third. I really like Jamal Adams. I feel like just he's the more polished product to me coming out of college. I feel like that's a guy that if you take him and you put him at safety, you've got that problem solved. As long as he stays healthy, you've got that problem solved until he's a free agent. And then, you know, you re-sign him if you want to, or maybe somebody else comes along and you let him go. Malik Hooker to me, I think, is enticing. There's a very high ceiling. He's a ball hawk. He seems to always be around to make big plays. It's just, I have legitimate concerns about Malik Hooker in coverage. I feel like if you allow him to play, you know, free safety or just center fielder and let him sit back there and, you know, try to just like in an Ed Reed type role, I think he's more suited for that. If you actually want him covering guys coming up the slot or tight ends, he has the speed and athletic ability to do it, but he needs a lot of coaching as far as just the technique to being able to cover these guys. So there's risk there, but I think the ceiling is really high and there's a huge payoff on it. And Jabril Peppers, I absolutely love Jabril. If he ends up on the Bears, I will not be upset about it in the least. I mean, I wouldn't take him at number three, but say he fell to them in the second round, because there's a whole lot of differing opinions about where Peppers is going to go in this draft. And if he's there in the second round and the Bears can take him, I'll be thrilled. The only question is, he is that pretty much prototype tweener where you feel like he's probably a little too big to play safety, but he's not big enough to play linebacker. So there is the question of, where does he fit? But I just feel like with a defensive coordinator like Vic Fangio, or any defensive coordinator worth his salt, if you give them somebody like Peppers with the skill set that they have and their ability to do different things, I think a lot of defensive coaches would love the chance to find Peppers and find ways to utilize him on their defenses.
Just a few more now with Tom Fornelli. Follow him on Twitter, at Tom Fornelli. You are now Ryan Pace, Tom. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wearing your Bears GM hat, you is the number three pick. What do you do?
Assuming Myles Garrett is gone, which I'm assuming he is, I would take Jonathan Allen with the third pick from Alabama, the defensive end, defensive tackle. Where, I don't know where the Bears would end up using him. I just think that Jonathan Allen is one of the absolute sure things in this draft. Myles Garrett, I think, has the higher ceiling, but Myles Garrett, sometimes I question his motor and how much he really wants to be out there. I don't question it with Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen is a football player, loves to play football, and I feel like at minimum you've got an above average to Pro Bowl level starter at that position for years to come. And I know that with the Bears defense, they have much bigger needs than on the defensive line. They have, you know, they need corners, they need safeties, but just for talent wise, I look at Allen and I come from that school where, you know, the best pass defense is a really good defensive line. And I think Jonathan Allen would help improve that. And I think a guy like we mentioned, Jabril Peppers, maybe, or even Buda Baker from Washington, I feel like a guy like that would still be available in the second round if you took Allen with that first round pick, where you could still address the safety, because the safety class, it's not quite as deep as it is on the defensive line this year with edge rushers. But I think there are enough good safeties still in this draft that you could wait to the second round if you had to. Now, if Allen and Garrett are both gone in the first two picks, then I would take Jamal Adams.
All right, well, Tom, we'll wrap up with this. Which team will finish in a higher place in their division in 2017, the Chicago Bears in the NFC North or the Chicago White Sox in the AL Central?
I hope it's the Bears. I want the White Sox to lose as many games as possible. I honestly think, though, I would say they both finish in fourth.
Okay. Yeah, well, that would set them up both nicely for the next season.
Yeah, it would. And, you know, I know Bears fans aren't going to be excited about the idea of watching another 4-12, 5-11 type season, but I really think it's what's best for them in the long run.
All right. Tom Fornelli, college football writer at CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Tom Fornelli. We'll try to work on getting you that Hubbard-ish autographed Pro Football Weekly swag for being a friend of the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Big thank you again to Tom Fornelli for joining us on the program. And now I welcome in John Sally, my associate producer, kind of recap that interview a little bit. And John, we started to talk about quarterbacks, and Tom, who covered these guys in college, is not in love with any of them as a number three pick. But what I thought was interesting was he said DeShone Kizer has a little Jay Cutler to him, where he makes these throws that make you go, wow. And then he makes really not great decisions. I know Kizer's number one in our Pro Bowl Weekly draft magazine, but I mean, none of these guys really make you that comfortable, but Kizer's kind of the one with that intriguing talent.
So here's where I'm at with Kizer right now as we're talking on February 22nd. So this is going to change 100 times. But everyone is really quick to blame Kizer's senior year struggles on Brian Kelly, because it's easy and fun to blame Brian Kelly for a lot of things. I know we had a report in Pro Football Weekly a couple months ago that Brian Kelly was desperately looking for an NFL job and no one wanted him, which, you know, everybody ha-ha laugh at Brian Kelly. But I sort of agree with Tom on the kind of Jay Cutler-esque traits in Kizer. Like, Kaiser's the one making those poor throws that caused him to get benched. So I think there's a little bit of pause with me with Kizer, and everyone sort of rushed to judgment that, oh, you know, things just didn't go great his senior year with Notre Dame, and Brian Kelly, you know, did his best to kind of ruin him. You know, Kizer was the one throwing the ball there. So I kind of agree with Tom and his assessment on that.
And then he talked about Watson, and I think this is the idea that Watson is like the safest, maybe the highest floor. He's got plenty of great abilities. You know that he can do it with when the lights come on. And I think that's become a more and more important quality. And we heard Ryan Pace of the Senior Bowl say he's looking for quarterbacks that lift their programs. I think Deshaun Watson is probably the best example of these three guys, what he did for Clemson's program. But once again, you don't necessarily want to use your third pick on a guy like that. But if you think Deshaun Watson's your long-term quarterback, then you absolutely take him as high as you can at number three. It's just, you know, again, there's enough question marks about his abilities that are going to make you nervous.
Look, I said this last week too. If you're Ryan Pace and you think you've got a franchise-changing quarterback and you can't trade down, grab him at number three. I wouldn't be upset by that. If you think this is the guy, and it's, again, the most important position in sports, go get him. And, you know, I know Watson's got accuracy issues, but really, I don't know what other complaints there are about Watson, Kevin. I mean, Watson seems to have done everything you asked of him. He's got some accuracy issues, which, yeah, that can be a really big deal. But I don't know really what the other sticking points are with him at this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of this comes back to John, is that – and I know Bears fans might not get excited about this, but I think they should be excited about whatever quarterback the Bears go after, because Ryan Pace is one of two things. One is he understands the importance of getting it right, but he's also just has not shown to be the type of general manager that is going to make a panic move. He's never done that. He's been very calculating his decisions, and I imagine he's going to do the same at quarterback. I don't think if he takes a quarterback at number three, or if he trades a ton for Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think we have seen from Ryan Pace the evidence that he's the type of GM that's going to have that kind of quick trigger to make a move. And I think you have to be kind of like, okay, Ryan Pace just took so-and-so number three. He obviously is that confident this guy is going to be the guy. Now, he could be wrong. And everyone could be wrong, but I think the way he's been, you at least got to feel comfortable that the guy who's making that decision is just been, it has shown to be very calculated in some of the moves he's already made. Am I being too praiseworthy for Ryan Pace here?
I don't think you're being too praiseworthy. I think that's an accurate assessment of how he has approached personnel decisions, with the exception of maybe, I would say, Ray McDonald early on. But other than that, I think that he makes sound personnel decisions, and there's not a quick trigger, like he said. So, yeah, if he thinks Watson is the guy at number three, if he thinks Jonathan Allen is the guy at number three or one of the safeties, yeah, that's the guy that I think we can trust that Ryan Pace has done the homework for and has concluded this is the best guy available for the Bears at number three.
I want to throw out a quick note on Mitch Trubisky. I got this from a scout. He said Trubisky's an anticipation thrower with really good pocket feel. And he said that he makes a lot of NFL throws. He can rip it. And I think the interesting thing there is teams are really going to like the athleticism and the arm strength that Trubisky's going to show you. But this guy also mentioned that, you know, he doesn't have a lot of history, and that's going to be something that's going to, you know, potentially scare some teams. So Trubisky's seems like the guy that, like, you think, oh my god, he's got all the NFL abilities in the world, but, you know, he's the ultimate butt guy. Let's call him that. Is that fair?
It's Trubisky ain't played nobody, Paul.
The other thing Tom and I talked about was safety. You know, we joked this year, 15 in a row, the Bears need one. It's a good year to have one. Tom Fornelli's rankings of the safeties, he went Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker, Jabril Peppers, and then probably Buda Baker. I understand that you don't see safeties taking number three, but these guys seem like game changers, and for a position that has long evaded the Bears, and a coach like Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell who can get the best out of guys, I don't think you could have much of a problem if they take one of these guys at number three.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard from some Bears fans that really love Hooker, and Adams is another guy that I think people would be really happy with, but Buda Baker potentially in the second round really intrigues me. I've loved Buda Baker's game. I think he is an NFL stud in the making. I think that's a guy that can really transform your defense in the secondary. And if you think that he's going to be there in the second round, then you don't have to go safety at number three. And you can go quarterback, you can go Jonathan Allen, you can go somewhere else where you think you need the most help. If you think a guy like Buda Baker is available in the second round, it's February 22nd, Kevin. Do you think that is a possibility at this point?
I think it is. I think so much is riding on where the three quarterbacks go. If someone trades back into the end of the first to take a Pat Mahomes. And then the running backs is another interesting one because you have those back of the first round options in a Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey. So, you know, and here's another one, John. Offensive tackle. It's not a good offensive tackle draft. Do teams start reaching for tackles in the first round? And that is the type of thing that's going to push a safety back. So I got a chance to talk to Greg Schiano about Malik Hooker. One of the things he said about the safety position is teams believe that if you can't get a game changer, that you can get by at safety more so than maybe other positions, which is why we don't see safety necessarily taken so high in some of these drafts. So I think that we could see keeping that in mind, you could see a big drop off after certainly Adams and Hooker and then maybe Peppers. And that could also bring make Baker available in the second round.
And I think also, I know, you know, Peppers is a popular guy, but is it set in stone that he's an NFL safety right now?
No, I don't know. That's going to be big at the combine. He's doing linebacker drills there, which is probably just to show his versatility. But remember what Arizona does with Deion Buchanan. A lot of these teams kind of like this idea of having a third safety who's a linebacker hybrid guy. And Jabril Peppers is so athletic that maybe he can kind of be that guy for somebody. So that's kind of where I stand on him. I haven't really watched these guys yet. I'll watch their drills at the combine. And then once we get into April, I'll start to sit down and actually kind of watch some tape and have a better opinion on them. The only opinion I can form is how guys played against Northwestern.
Go Cats.
And as I mentioned earlier, that raises the draft stock of Malik McDowell, who just wrecked everyone in front of him in that Northwestern Michigan State game. So, yes. Let's wrap up the show. As I mentioned, Combine next week, free agency the week after. We'll have a show at some point to kind of recap where things stand with the Bears. It's very possible the next time we talk to you, the Bears are a very, very different team based on what happens at the quarterback position and what happens in the first hours and days of free agency. John, I watched the last 10 minutes of The Bachelor.
Just the last 10 minutes.
Just the last 10 minutes. Why did I only watch the last 10 minutes? There was something else on that I was much more interested in that caught my attention.
Was it Northwestern basketball?
No, we're not talking about them right now. we're not speaking about them. I think there was a college basketball game I was watching, I believe. So that's maybe that was it. But I didn't get a lot. Corinne spent $4,000 on something in like an hour or like 10 minutes on the episode of The Bachelor, so that's exciting.
What did she buy for $4,000?
I don't remember. But you know, that was something. She professed her love. So
oh no, you never do that, right?
That's something. And then Nick was, you know, doing some like preemptive asking for permission from the fathers because it was hometown week. Which, like, I think that's a sensible move because you're gonna ideally ask one of these women to marry you, and it saves you having to go back and do it. So it's like, it was like a hypothetical, like, hey, if like your daughter's the last one left kind of thing.
Hey, so, if I decide to pick her.
Right. So it's certainly not the most intimate thing.
That's an awkward conversation for a father.
Well, I think one of the fathers was kind of annoyed that he asked the other fathers the same question. I'm like, well, you gotta, I mean, if you're going to go with the preemptive strike here, you gotta ask all of them. So you're prepared.
Man, I don't know how you watch it, to be honest with
you. Yeah, I only got 10 minutes this week, so we'll see.
All 10 minutes. What happened to the other 50?
Who knows? I don't know. My sister, I didn't even realize she watched it. She texted me. She goes, you got to be watching this right now. So I blame her for making me turn it on this week. But that is your Bachelor update. For those of you who are still listening to this podcast, thank you for listening. Big thank you to our guest, Tom Fornelli. And my producers, John Sally and Dan Mott. I have two plugs for you. If you head to profootballweekly.com, we have plenty of videos previewing free agency, how it broke down every position. And we also have slideshows on our website breaking down all the teams free agency. So for you Bears fans, you're thinking about team needs, who the Bears can get in free agency, go check out those videos and those slideshows. get an idea of who the Bears could be looking at, who's going to be available, things like that. Also, the Pro Football Weekly Draft Magazine is on sale now. You can get it, you can order it online, $7.99. You got 250 scouting reports from Greg Gabriel. I highly, highly recommend it, not just because of all the man hours that went into that. But go grab it, go to our website, profootballweekly.com. You can find the link there. You can also find it on all of our Twitters at Bears_Insider and at PF Weekly. So check those things out. Again, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned to Bears_Insider and profootballweekly.com/Bears for all the news from the Combine next week and the start of free agency. We'll be back with you soon. Talk more Bears.